This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Long day?
Yeah.
They told us a little bit about what was happening in there.
They can't tell you anything what's happening there.
Can you tell us how you kind of are reacting or being proactive about what is going on in there? What are you doing in regards to what is happening?
What do you think is happening in there?
Well, it seems like there's some kind of force that has arrived in New York City. And I would imagine you guys are there to put a stop to whatever that force is.
Yeah, we're avenging
something. Right. We're avenging something.
You're assembling.
And we're fighting, I tell you that. It's hot and sweaty.
Each other?
And perhaps, I don't know, we're fighting together, I think. And we're having a good time. It's good fun. It's a lot of work.
Scarlett, you've done a lot of hand-to-hand combat in Iron Man 2. Do you up that here? Do you take on some weapons in this film?
Yeah, there's a kind of combination of all that stuff. There's definitely a lot of hand-to-hand combat still, and combination of different fighting styles, gymnastics, Muay Thai, boxing, kickboxing, all that stuff.
You do all that?
What'd you say?
You do all that?
You know I do all that. we use all kinds of stuff. Knives, guns, all sorts of things. Yeah.
Where you guys have compared to, you were Iron Man 2, you were in Thor briefly. How much time has passed? I assume you both are engaged with S.H.I.E.L.D., so you already knew each other. But how much time has passed? Do we have anything in this movie where we see two of you kind of meeting for the first time, or do we already see...
How much time has passed since we have seen one another?
Yeah, I don't know how much time has passed and how much, interaction we've had.
I can tell you this, there's so many characters in this movie, as you know, that it can't really go too much into backstories of characters. We're telling a massive story here with a lot of characters in it, so the time is spent on, all of this, I guess, saving things.
But that's never really been established. I mean, we've obviously known each other for a long time. We have a very kind of rich history, the two characters, I think, with one another. And but as far as the timeline, I mean, I think it's pretty much the time that has passed since Iron Man 2 had come out, so a couple of years or whatever. But since we've seen each other now, I mean, I think we've been working together this whole time.
Right, you're both agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So I assume you have to work together.
Working together and apart and whatever, yeah.
Is this the romance in the movie?
There's no time for romance. we've got shit to avenge.
But you said there's a rich history. What is sort of the nature of the relationship? What is the back and forth between them?
I think that these...
They fought a lot together.
We fought a lot
together,
they've
done a lot of missions together, and they fight well together. And so you definitely get a sense that they've seen a lot of shit together. And, they complement each other.
And so are they paired for most of the movie?
We're all kind of paired together in different ways.
Yeah.
But
our fighting styles are not similar, but they definitely complement one another. I mean, we fight, both of us fight hand to hand. I mean, we're just humans with
super
abilities, you know. But, We're fighting in a different way than everybody else, so we do a lot of fighting on the ground and that kind of thing.
How do your characters react to the introduction of these gods, Loki and Thor, getting involved with fighting things that...
I ask myself that every day. I was like, that's weird. I don't know. I keep asking, do I know, Iron Man? How do I know Thor? I guess I was in the movie, but I was going to put an arrow in his head. I don't know this guy, do I? So I always ask those questions. And, Joss is very creative, and, it's a complicated universe, as you guys know, and there's a couple different versions of this universe, so it's interesting, we find reasons to make it work, but I think the general overall assumption is that we all have at least an understanding of each other, or a misunderstanding of each other. It's probably better.
We just talked to Robert and said that Hawkeye kind of likes to do things on his own. He's like his own guy, kind of like a rogue agent a little bit. Can you describe that aspect of the character and how that plays out in the movie?
Yeah, that kind of plays into just being a sniper in general. That sort of philosophy of snipers hang out in rooftops and trees and things like that by themselves and don't really kind of work with anybody else. So that just kind of, even in military, it's the same sort of thing. So I think it just plays into kind of his character, being a rogue sort of agent.
Tom talked to us yesterday that Loki has scenes with each of you, each of the Avengers, interaction. So we'll talk about working with Tom, working with Loki, you know, and why is Loki coming to each of you to have conversations?
Well, I think that he's...
because it's written in the script.
I think that he has, you know, an agenda that he's sort of... I think the best way to kind of break up a group is by, you know, kind of trying to manipulate the situation by going individually to each one of our characters. I mean, you kind of see that in... It's like he's playing good cop, bad cop, but just... It's just him in some way, you know, with each one of us. And I think he is trying to figure out a way to kind of like holes in the, you know, in the team, you know, kind of trying to figure out a way to disassemble us in some way and kind of manipulate us individually. And I absolutely adore working with Tom. He's such an incredibly talented and sort of, I don't know, he's got such a theatrical way about him. That's really, it's just a lovely way to work, especially to see, you know, especially when you're living in this universe that's sort of a larger than life reality in a sense, you know, that kind of theatrical style is really appreciated, I think. And he's just been great. I think he's having so much fun with that character. And, you know, I don't know. I think we all have had our own like interactions with his character, but my experience has been very much a kind of you know, I've really seen his kind of dramatic turn and vice versa. So we've had fun playing with that. Joss writes such solid dialogue that we each have really nice, meaty, you know, kind of points of view.
Yeah, Tom is a troubled boy, but he looks good in his costume.
Well, one of the things about your characters, which is very interesting, is that like Hawkeye and Black Widow, you don't have superpowers at all. You kind of just have abilities and skills, and you're basically in a team where you have giant green monster, you have God. So how do you guys interact with those? Do they look down on you guys because you don't have powers, or are you able to step up and stand up to them and fights and everything?
Well, yeah, initially I thought that was going to be weird, but then I found out a lot more about, like, for Hawkeye, is that, you know, I thought, like, what's the bow and arrow going to do against, like, the Hulk? We had to fight or something. And actually, I have specialized things.
Okay,
I can tell you, I can't, you know, tell you anything really about, but I can, you know, I can put them down. So, it's pretty cool, man. But yeah, well, we are humans with high skill sets, and, I think what makes all characters interesting is that they all have weaknesses.
Okay.
And so it makes them pretty human in that way. What's Tony Stark without his suit? Who's he be?
Where do we find your characters when the film starts off? Because I think when you were Tony Stark. Are you still kind of... with him, is it a capacity you want to start off?
No, my character's sort of on another mission. I think she's kind of, you know, at the end of that, of Iron Man 2, I think that kind of mission is over for her, and she's an agent who's tasked for several different purposes. And so we find her...
Sipping a Mai Tai in
sipping
Hawaii.
Sipping Mai Tai in Hawaii. No, she's at work, you know? Just the old 9-to-5.
Talk a little bit about the first day. All of you guys were on set together in costume. I guess on the shield. Hello.
Hello,
Carrier. You can sort of talk about just, you know, being there with everybody.
It's weird.
Very surreal.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's just kind of, out of body experience. You're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
It's like dress up, but like to the extreme.
Yeah.
But we
I
can
wasn't
all
even
the
really
absolute
there,
shit
though.
Out of each other.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I don't even know what I was doing there. But I was there.
Yeah.
I'm
you were
it's
there.
Strange. It's strange. Every day it's strange.
Yeah, it's never even, I mean, even when our characters all, when the Avengers assemble, it's totally, it feels like that, you know, I don't know, like a
I love seeing, like,
kid
Hemsworth with his hammer, and then he's got, like, a latte. To me, that's great imagery.
And there's always a point, like, as soon as everything is cut, everything comes off.
Yeah, exactly.
All our costumes are unzipped, some air conditioning venting unit goes in, someone's having a wig removed. Yeah, it's, we all have, like, our various, you know, our various things that we have to do to get comfortable. Everybody looks incredibly uncomfortable until the cameras are rolling, then we all look fucking badass, and then cut, and then we're all just like, ah, God, this thing, get it on, like, just awful.
Who would you say's costume is probably least comfortable, and who has it best? Who's the person you look at them and go, I can't believe they just get to wear that?
Well, we all have our own, I'd say everybody has their own uncomfortable costume situation.
We have it definitely the easiest, I think.
I don't think that's, speak for yourself.
I was just going to say, I have it easier than you because your fucking hair.
No, my hair, what about my hair?
See, you have to do hair thing.
That's just a girl thing, that has nothing to do with being
still,
a
Still, it's part of your deal.
Please, Mike, talk about it, that it's like 800 degrees in my costume.
Yeah, that's
tough
for everybody.
And it's a unitard, and I have nothing underneath it.
That might be. That's nice for people. I think it's easy.
All these boys in their muscle
watching
suits.
Watching her is really easy.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, the people that have harder is, I think, you know, like, I think
Chris
Evans
has it pretty bad.
I think Evans has it tough because of headpiece stuff.
Either that's Chris has it pretty bad.
Yeah, both Chris's are.
Tom
think,
has
have
it
worse.
Has a pretty intense.
I think the humility award definitely goes to Ruffalo. He.
For his little suit.
poor bastard's in a thong, or he's in wearing something really unflattering, and he's supposed to be like the baddest ass thing.
And he has a little fez on, a little plus and minus stickers. Poor thing.
Is it hard to work off of that? I mean, but knowing that he's supposed to be this giant beast.
Well, I laugh once in a while as he's growling. I'm like, stop it. But yeah, it's good fun. They're all, you know, tremendous, and we all overcome the obstacles we need to overcome. It's a good, really good group.
What about the hierarchy of S.H.I.E.L.D. now? Because, I mean, you obviously dealt with Nick Fury a lot. You dealt with Coulson. There's also Maria Hill now. So how does it all play into it as far as, like, who do you guys take orders from directly? I mean, is Nick Fury kind of the people the person you deal with most, or are you guys working with Coulson or Maria Hill or all movie time?
All of our orders come directly from Fury.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's either you obey him or disobey him.
So it's Maria Hill. You don't have any scenes with Maria Hill or with Coulson in this one, or
we all have scenes together.
Yeah, we do.
But we take our direction all from from Fury.
Yeah, and I just don't take any direction at all.
I'm curious about Maria Hill because she's a new person in the mix. And
yeah,
she's really kind of. I mean, in the comics, she's taken over for a period of time too. So she's really. We haven't seen her, so I'm kind of asking whether or not once in a while people delegate to her and she'll kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I think it stays pretty true to that universe, you know, that they're tied, I think, with Coulson, Maria, and Fury all, I think that's a pretty tight unit there. And then when it comes to Jokers like us, they bring us in for special things, just like the Marvel Universe.
You know, you're wearing a Motley Crue t-shirt, and Downey Jr. is wearing a Black Sabbath shirt. I mean, are you guys trying to champion the soundtrack, or...
Let's get that.
I got it from the crew, yo.
You did?
Yeah.
I can get one.
Oh, yeah, you want one?
No.
See what I can do.
That's right.
Yeah, we are. I would love to have some Motley Crue. I don't know with Joss. I don't know what's going to be playing. I don't really know much about his musical taste. Do you?
No, I have no idea.
It certainly will be
curious
different.
About the soundtrack.
It'll certainly be different.
All the Marvel
from
films have different. And Iron Man is what, AC/DC?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That's Favreau, though. That's totally
Favreau's
thing,
yeah.
You know? Joss, I think, is probably, I would imagine it would be like some sort of, like, operatic kind of soundtrack. We'll have, it'll be very true.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine.
I have no idea.
Talk about your reaction to seeing the script for the first time. And were you sitting there like, oh my God, please let this be good?
Yes.
Of course.
I hope this is mediocre.
Yeah.
I mean, how nervous were you, like, when you're first sitting down to read this thing? Because obviously, like, contracts are signed, I guess. You guys are in the movie, you know?
Well, we all, I mean, the nice thing about kind of about our cast is that we've all sort of, there's like a silent oath of kind of a support system in some way, and all of us have, I think, are really looking out for one another's best interests, and more when the first draft came in. I mean, I remember going to Comic-Con last year and flying back with everybody, and we were all like, we're in it together. Like, we had assembled on the plane. And so, you know, reading the first draft was, you know, it was, it's a huge story with a lot of storylines, and the first draft to me was still very much a work in progress. And Joss wanted everybody's notes and got all of them, and we all met separately and together and talked about it. And, you know, I think the script over, you know, Joss was like pulling his hair up doing these insane drafts, but, you know, and on a time crunch, but he really, I think with everybody's notes and all of us kind of looking out for each other, really streamlined it to something that is, I think, very coherent. And the first draft to me was a little bit like, wow, what are all these storylines? I didn't know what the hell was going on. It was very much felt like an assemblage of a lot of different storylines together. But that's, I think, part of, just, you know, screenwriting process anyways.
Yeah, there's no bigger you know? Fan than Joss in this world. And, you know, he's a really great writer. And he had a massive task to write this movie and direct it. Massive. I don't know anybody that can really, really write this and be able to put in all the stuff that he really wanted to put in, because he honors all these characters so much. So people were asking about backstory and all these other things. Like, well, there's a lot going on in this movie. We don't have a lot of time that he wanted to put into each and every character. And, he had so many different versions of this stuff. Sometimes I even liked it better because it had such a good sense of humor in some points, even though the movie still does. But somehow, some way, he did it. He pulled it off. And,
after this experience, are you guys championing your own solo films? Do you want to kind of do that?
I'm championing vacation. is what I'm going to champion.
I think going into this process and even going into doing Iron Man 2, the whole idea is that you hope that the audience...
You in Iron Man 3?
Aren't you?
You're going off to do Iron Man 3?
That's right, yeah. We'll be there. We're on the same flight. No, I think that the whole idea is that you want the audience to be as enthusiastic as you are about the characters, and that you hope that you'll be able to do, you know, take the character farther. You know, it's certainly a process to zip up the suit every time, and it gets harder with each passing year. But if it was badass, and I think incorporated, you know, the darker side of the character, and was like really got to the nitty gritty of who she is, I would like to see that movie. You know,
Jeremy, when we asked Kevin about Hawkeye, the same thing about a Hawkeye spinoff or a Black Widow spinoff. At least that you're basically so many franchises now. That, like, you don't, he doesn't know if you have time. How does that come to the point where you're literally in all these franchises now and kind of...
I don't know how that happened, but, you know...
Worrying about overlap and not be able to...
Well, yeah, you're assuming a lot there that they're going to succeed. You know, the only expensive movies to shoot franchise movies, so it's got to do very, very well in order for them to do another one. So I worry about that movie and that movie only. Just a franchise is only a movie. If it does well, it has possibility of making another one. Separates it from a movie that's just a one-off. So there's no guarantee by any means that there will be any more movies made at Marvel, let alone from any of those, from Mission to Bourne to whatever it might be, to Iron Soul Brother. So we'll see.
Last question, guys, today to take it back. So one more question.
Iron Man 3 starts in February, you guys?
Yeah, when are you starting?
I haven't gotten my schedule yet.
Anybody else have to sweat it out in this building besides you two?
We all
get an opportunity to sweat it out in this building, right? Downey's flying around.
Downey's
vacation. Downey's in Mount. Downey's a 6'5" African American man. Let's be honest with ourselves. giant muscle man who's sweating it out in there.
That's right.
Yeah, Downey comes in.
Downey had it easy on that one.
Yeah. I think he has the easiest costume to wear.
Yeah, but we got to go sweat it out in this bestest box. So, you know.
All right, guys, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Take it easy.